To Two-Way Talk. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Carol Williams.
Thank you for tuning to WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. It's Friday. We always have our reporters roundtable on Friday. And boy, do we have some great reporters for today. It's Friday. What are you doing for the weekend, Kara?
So I don't have any plans yet.
None.
I might take my grandchildren to a water park tomorrow,
Aww. But
that's after my belly dancing class.
I want you to take a few pictures at your belly dancing class for me. I think that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Nothing slows this girl down.
Yeah. That's about it. I didn't really make any plans.
And I don't want her to send me the pictures so that I can Google them. I have to remember, it's 2021. Right. Me Too has started. I don't want anybody thinking I am sexually harassing my partner here. Two-Way Talk. That's right. It's the Reporters Roundtable. Hassan Giordano is back. Hassan Giordano is the owner of DMV Daily Media. He's a media buyer, TV, radio, podcast, and live stream host, communications consultant, one of the best political strategists I know, and he is, most of all, the proud father of some young black kings. Hassan Giordano, welcome back.
Hey, Amy and Kara, it's always a pleasure to join the program.
How was Las Vegas?
Oh, I had the time of my life.
Did you win lots of money?
I win lots of money.
Oh, okay.
I came back with more than I went there.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Right. Now I'm bedridden with, I don't know if it's COVID.
Uh-oh.
I'll know by tomorrow with testing or just the flu. But
oh, brother. You went to Las Vegas. I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hassan is back with us, and we'll find out from him later what this is all about. Also joining us is my favorite reporter, no disrespect to anyone in the world. Jane Miller is with us. She's a WBLT TV chief investigative team reporter. She has been covering Baltimore and the country for decades. I had to catch myself. Jane Miller, it is always awesome to have you on our show.
Always good to be here, Anthony. Absolutely.
And, of course, the other guest is Stephen Janis. He's a host and producer. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He has served as a senior investigative reporter for the now-defunct Baltimore Examiner. He won two Maryland, D.C., Delaware Press Awards for his work. And he has won several Emmys when he was a producer at Fox 45. Stephen Janis, great to have you on board, friend.
Hey, Anthony, thanks for having me. And Jane Miller's my favorite reporter, too.
And Steve is mine.
That's right. Now, interestingly enough, when most of you know, and Kara, you know, I worked in politics before I came back to WEAA, and I helped run the campaign of Catherine Pugh for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when I would call Stephen and I'd say, Stephen, you have got to come to this press conference.
Yes.
Because there's not going to be anybody there.
Oh, yeah. No.
And sure enough, Stephen and his beautiful wife would come with their camera, and I don't even think they covered anything, but he was right there recording it like we were prime time.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Janis is always going to be top of my list. Thank you all for joining us today on the Reporters Roundtable.
Hey.
So I want to talk, I'm going to kick this off. President Joe Biden had a press conference yesterday at 5 o'clock. And he made it very clear. He's growing impatient with people who will not get vaccinated. Yes. So he has mandated that federal employees will be vaccinated. No taking a test every week. He said you will be vaccinated or you will have to leave employment, the federal government. Mm-hmm. And he also said if you use any federal transportation, whether they are the train, whether they're airplanes, whatever, you will wear your mask.
Yep.
And people are already upset. But a lot of the national unions are standing with the president.
Yes.
They said they want their members to be healthy and well. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you, Hassan Giordano, as we do every week. What do you think about the president said, I'm impatient with the country. I'm impatient with people not getting vaccinated.
Well, I think the majority of the country is impatient with his president and what he's not doing. So join the crowd. But look, at the end of the day, it'll definitely be challenged, right? I have no doubt about that. And depending on which court and judge they get the case in front of, it'll probably play out all the way up to the Supreme Court, as we just saw in Florida earlier today. Governor DeSantis and his administration won approval that put on hold the Leon County business ruling. Mm-hmm. That said that the state could not enforce that ban down there, the strict mask mandate. So this will play out throughout the courts, I'm sure. The vaccine order, actually for the federal government, is going to require, this is interesting, it requires that all federal executive branch workers be vaccinated, as well as all employees of federal contractors, covering about 90% of the 4 million or so federal workers. But it doesn't apply to non-executive branch employees, which means members of Congress and the judiciary, which I found very interesting. And it's significant in Maryland, the third most rated state in the country with federal employees. So we have a lot of people who will be affected by this. It'll be interesting to see. I'm really looking at how they handed down this order as it regards to large stadiums, venues, concert halls, and stuff. He did not say anything as a season ticket holder. I was interested to see if they're going to mandate us going into the stadium and having to be vaccinated. But he noticed he never said anything about the football stadium.
He sure did.
And they tried to reach out to stadiums across the country in their reporting, including right here in Baltimore, the Ravens, who were very mum on that situation. So it'll be interesting to see if that trickles down.
But it is likely, Hassan, that masks will be mandated at those stadiums.
Yes.
They're already mandated.
Okay, so that's what I thought.
Masks are already mandated.
Right, so I don't think they're going to go beyond that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They go to vaccination requirements for people who've already paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to be, you know, members of whatever it is. I don't think that's going to go over really well.
So, Jane Miller, we know how Hassan feels about these mandates.
And President Biden.
Tell me what you think. He spent 30 minutes explaining that he is just frustrated that the Delta variant and the other variants that are coming, we must be vaccinated to protect ourselves. Tell me what you think about the mandate.
Well, I mean, the biggest part of that mandate is actually the mandate that employers of more than 100 employees have to, have employees vaccinated or proof of testing, et cetera. Look, I mean, this has been a very divisive issue, the vaccinations, the masks, everything about COVID has been divisive since day one, really. But I think if you go back, but for Delta, the Delta variant, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we have this kind of two things happening at once. We had a really robust start to the vaccination campaign that leveled off. And then you had this resistance to the vaccination campaign just as the Delta variant was really starting to spread. And it's like, well, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's right.
But they happened simultaneously. So instead of being in a situation now in September of 2021 where, you know, COVID might be endemic, in other words, just in the background, and, you know, people are vaccinated and had immunity, et cetera, we're in this situation where it's very much, you know, raging, and there's a, you know, whatever the number is, I can't remember the 80 million, whatever the number is around the country that are not vaccinated. So I think that what we saw yesterday was a president who is really frustrated that He has not gotten a lot of cooperation around the country with governors, including our own, I might add. I mean, Governor Hogan has implemented certain steps, but he has not mandated vaccinations among, you know, statewide, statewide meaning among state employees. It has been in limited cases. He has not implemented a school mandate, which Biden asked for yesterday, saying governors really, we really need governors to implement and order vaccinations in schools, which I really don't get that, since we have emergency use authorization.
That's right.
We now have approval of the Pfizer
FDA
vaccine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a healthcare provider today who's in her 20s, and we were having this conversation, and I said, I pulled up my shirt sleeve, and I said, I have a scar on my arm. That is the smallpox scar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She says, yeah, I know, I don't have one. I said, that's because smallpox was eradicated. And that's what I don't get. In order to go to school, you have to have a bunch of vaccinations.
A whole lot of vaccinations.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, okay, so why is this a problem?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have an approved vaccine against a really deadly situation. I mean, you know, COVID has proven to be a very serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not quite sure why there is such hesitancy, at least there, to mandate vaccination among children and staff, children, of course, who are eligible, and staff. So I think what we're seeing is almost like time is running out, that we're really at a tipping point here. We're heading into the fall and the winter. We had Labor Day weekend. Now we have college football and pro football stadiums packed. We have Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas all coming up one after another, and the weather's getting colder.
Yeah.
And we are not at an immunity level or a vaccination level that public health and scientists feel is a comfortable level in order to really tamp this down. I hope I'm wrong. I hope, you know, everybody hopes they're wrong. But I think that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing this kind of this really urgent call now to get people vaccinated. And you know what? If you're not going to do it voluntarily, we're going to make you do it.
Exactly.
You do it. Yeah. We want to invite our listeners to join our roundtable. Our news roundtable this week, we have Hassan Giordano, Jane Miller, and Stephen Janis. Give us a call at 410-319-8888. You can talk about the issues that we bring up, or talk about something that's in the news that's of interest to you. 410-319-8888. Stephen Janis, it seems like we are headed back into a cycle where you will have to once again be 6 feet apart. You're going to have to wear the mask, if not be vaccinated. We're headed back in, and they say that variants are being developed, or not being developed, but the other variants are coming after the Delta variant, which spread like wildfire. Right now, they're counting several thousand children have succumbed to the Delta variant. So the disease has changed, and it's still killing. 200,000 people dead now, 700,000 people dead from the initial COVID-19 virus. It seems like we're going in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Let me get your thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, there was some good news the CDC released today, that people who are vaccinated are 4.5 times less likely to get COVID.
Yes.
I think 10 times less likely to be hospitalized and 11 times less likely to die. But you are right. If you walk around today and, you know, go anywhere, it seems very much like deja vu, like it's, you know, back prior to the vaccination.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that the science, if you look at it, is pretty clear that if everyone were vaccinated, we might not be having this conversation. Although countries like Israel and countries like the UK, which have much higher vaccination rates, have also had higher COVID rates. But Delta has changed the game. I guess the question really is, you know, if this country is able to turn around the vaccination rates, will that make a dent in Delta? And it's interesting because I read up on it every day, and it seems like the vaccines have proven extremely effective. But yes, it does. It is strange because, you know, like you pointed out, and like Jane pointed out, that they are now, you know, we have mass mandates back in place in Maryland, in Baltimore City, and you know, we have basically not sort of the freedom that we were expecting. And you know, it seems like the Biden administration. Of course, as you point out, there have been 200,000 deaths since he took office. So it's really a mess. And there are other variants. You've got to start relearning your Greek alphabet because we're on the moon now. I think I remember vaguely from college, but you know, the idea that another variant could come, that could be, you know, sort of evolve and be resistant to vaccines, could completely throw everything into chaos. And that that is a lingering, you know, thread you hear from scientists that yes, it's possible that a new mutation come up and you know, really throw things into chaos. But it is also important to remember that, you know, some of the media reports are misleading, like a number of antibodies you have, naturally your antibodies go down, but it's the T cells that I think are more important to your overall immunity, and that's been very effective in terms of the vaccines. And then, of course, we don't know whether and when and if we should get boosters. FDA hasn't ruled on that, and that's another big factor. So really, it's chaotic right now, and I think that's where no one wants to be.
And my friend, a former member of the legislature, I spoke to her recently, and she was so sick, and she blames her booster. She said the booster put her down for days. Scared me, to be honest with you. Kara, what do you think about the Biden?
Does she have any underlying? Remember, they were talking about having things in the past that were re-brought up by the booster.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wonder if that was a. Well, I already know. I think that I'm completely on President Biden's side. And just like we were just talking about having vaccines for school, let's think about the military. I was in the military. You had to get shots in the military. They gave you a series of shots. So I'm kind of curious.
And they're getting the COVID-19 shot
now, because I'm trying to figure out why didn't they make them from the beginning get it. Because when you go in the military, there's no question. They just send you through this line and you get your shots. So I'm very interested to know if a lot of our people that are against the shot, are they former military? Because you didn't question the military. You just took the shots and you didn't know what was in them.
So we have some callers who are joining us. 410-319-8888. It's the Reporters Roundtable. We have three of the best reporters in the city of Baltimore with us today. Hassan Giordano, Jane Miller, and Stephen Janis. Let's go to Leslie. Leslie, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I want to piggyback on Jane Miller's comment. I agree. When I was 6 years old, my parents took me to a place where they gave me a needle, and from that needle I got a big old sore on my left arm, which took years for it to fade away. It's still there.
Smallpox. Yep.
But it protected me from the smallpox. It protected me from polio, in which my uncle had polio, and it wasn't pretty. So I'm kind of like leaning towards the president. He's frustrated. If you're in charge of people, you feel and you see what's happening, then I feel as though if someone that's in charge should take charge.
Yeah.
And I think he's taking charge.
I agree.
Thank you, Leslie. Thanks for your call. You know, one of the interesting things I have heard, and we have heard everything on this show when it comes to the COVID. I'm not even going to recite some of the conspiracy theories that people have. Someone sent me a message today on Facebook saying that this is a attempt by the federal government to track all of us, and they are inserting chips in the American people. I said, why do they have to insert chips? They have our phones.
That's right.
They know everywhere we're going.
Right. That's right.
But I understand people who say this was developed quickly. Mm-hmm. They're used to virus vaccines taking decades to come up with.
Are they? Are they really used to knowing the
length of
a vaccine? Because I never knew the length of a vaccine till COVID came out, to be perfectly honest. So when you go and your doctor says, I have to give you shingles, do you ask him, how long did it take for you to develop shingles? You don't ask that question. So I don't think these people, I don't know. I understand that argument because that was my argument.
That's right.
But then after I thought about it and thought the people that I have to protect, my grandchildren, my mother, my aunt, I took it. And I masked.
And you masked.
Right.
And you know, the interesting part of it as well is, regardless of political affiliation or what have you, you have people who first say, well, I'm so tired of this one jurisdiction doing this, one jurisdiction doing
that's
that.
Right.
I wish our top leaders would just come on with these, you know, if it's going to be masked, it should be masked everywhere. So you got to applaud the president who's saying, all right, if that's what y'all want, this is what I'm giving you. Like Jane had brought up, our governor, Governor Hogan, kind of comes out and says, okay, I want businesses to mandate this.
He wants it,
but I won't do it myself with state employees, which is people get tired of that flipping and flopping you're talking out of both sides of your neck. So regardless of how they feel about it, but I agree with you, Anthony, if you listen to the argument, people have been fed all this information because of
so much information,
because of, you know, the internet and stuff, that they start to make these conspiracy theories about whatever it is. And, you know, depending on how you've grown up and the environment that you've been growing up in, you may decide to or not to get the vaccination because of many reasons.
Hassan Giordano, thank you. Jane Miller's with us. Stephen Janis is with us. 410-319-8888 is the number if you want to join our conversation. Let's go to Matt. Matt has something he'd like to add to the conversation. Welcome to Two Way Talk, Matt.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well.
I just had a quick question. You know, one of the concerns, so I will say right now that I am not vaccinated.
Okay.
One of the concerns that I have are the long-term effects that we do not know. Prior to COVID, I had never heard of a breakthrough infection. And the reason that I hadn't is because the vaccines that took a long time to develop worked. I had MMR prior to going to college, and I never heard a single thing about a breakthrough vaccine, a breakthrough infection from a vaccine. These were having breakthrough because I think that there's a lot wrong with them. If you look at J&J, how quickly that was repealed after a ton of people got them due to blood clots, a ton being a relative term. It was low percentage, but it was still higher than what they wanted. My question going to the military was, the vaccines that we're giving, anthrax, I'm originally from Frederick, where anthrax was studied at Fort Detrick. In Operation Desert Shield, they were required to get anthrax shots. Well, it took a long time for the studies to come out what happened from those shots, and that included paralysis. Many people who were back in Desert Storm are now on disability because they had to take shots that were rushed through the military and forced to get. And that's my worry about this, is that we do not know the long-term effects of what can come out of this.
Very good point. Anybody want to jump on that? He's saying, look, this was developed quickly. I think it was called Warp Speed by President Trump. And the vaccine came up quick, got it in the arms of people very quickly. But we don't know about the long-term effects.
I'll take a stab at that.
Wait a minute, Jane. We got to take a very quick break. That music means we're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Two Way Talk here on Public Radio WEAA.
Two-Way Talk here on WEAA 88.9 FM, where we are the voice of the community. I'm Kara Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy. We are in our reporters roundtable. We have three great journalists. Stephen Janis is with us, investigative reporter and award-winning producer. Jane Miller is here, WBAL-TV, chief investigative team reporter. And Hassan Giordano, owner of DMV Daily Media, media buyer, TV, radio, podcast, live stream host. He does a little bit of everything. Today, those three great journalists are with us here on Two Way Talk. Jane, you were going to respond to the caller who was raising a lot of questions about side effects.
Right, and one of the issue of, well, these vaccines are developed really fast comes up a lot. I'm going to read you something from a publication, a health publication, quoting a couple of vaccine experts here. Quote, the scientific community wasn't starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. The two technologies that have been used in this, and this is for the both the Pfizer and Moderna, which is the mRNA technology, and the adenovirus technology, which is used for Johnson & Johnson, both have been used in humans for decades. These are not new technologies. It's mature, safe technology that was tailored and employed to fight this pandemic. And that is quoting a vaccine wow. expert from this article. So in other words, the technology was already there, but it had to be applied to the COVID-19 version of coronavirus. So this is not something that came out of nowhere. The other thing that I think people, in terms of the side effects of a vaccine, any vaccine can give you a side effect, and they do get reported to the FDA. You can look them up, et cetera. The trials for this, for these vaccines, for the Pfizer, the Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, all of them have been going on for some time. So mm-hmm. we now have at least 15 months experience with real time and real life use of these vaccines when you count both the trials and then the rollout of the vaccine starting in really late December and January with the American population. So there's a lot of experience with it. I think to the caller's point, why didn't we ever hear about breakthrough infections? Look, the COVID vaccination campaign is getting an enormous amount of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a daily news story. You know, what's the rate? Who's not getting it? You know, what's the mandate? Is there a mandate, et cetera? And the breakthrough infection story is part of the story. Just like people who get the flu shot, they can get the flu.
Yes. Just,
what the vaccine does, it prevents you from, hopefully, from the most severe illness and hospitalization and death. I think that based on what I've read, at least in terms of the public health accounting of people who have been vaccinated and have a breakthrough infection and die, these are generally older people or people with severe underlying conditions to begin with.
Mm.
So I think that the problem here is that this is the most publicized
yeah.
public health issue and effort in terms of the vaccination in any of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you can remember 1918.
Barely.
But this is an extraordinary long, you know, we're now into 18 months of this.
Right.
And, you know, the vaccinations are in their ninth month. So
yeah.
there's a lot of publicity.
And
about
information,
the,
yeah.
And information. And you're getting bombarded with it. Mm-hmm. And you really do have to, I think to Stephen's point too, you really have to kind of wade through it. You got to read. You have
yes.
to. You have to look at sources that are reliable, et cetera, to really have a good sense of, you know, what's going on.
So we have a bunch of other callers. I'm gonna try to get a couple in before we move to a different subject. Let's go to Sergeant Freeman. Sergeant Freeman is next. Sergeant Freeman, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
All right. I've been listening to you for a while, but Jane, she knows who I am, Sergeant Freeman. She covered some of my protests at M&T Stadium with the
wonderful. You've been around, Jane.
She knows who I am.
Don't
how
remind
you doing?
Me.
Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm.
We're on email each other. Here's the thing. I'm ex-military, and we're in the subject about the vaccine for military. Part of my, I'm 100% disability right now based upon the fact of vaccines that I've had to take because of my tour of duty.
Mm.
And I actually had to sue the federal government to get the actual confirmation for them to own up to what happened to me. So I had, the term is called adverse reaction, okay? So my bunkmate may not have the same thing that I have because he is okay, but I'm walking around San Antonio, Texas at Lackland Air Force Base with 106-degree temperature based upon some vaccinations that I got for I had to go overseas. Now, here's the situation. You don't understand how what that's going to do to you or what's going to happen to you till later. See, when they're rolling this stuff out, sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years for them to do their research studies. So I think the last president said warp speed. You cannot roll that type of thing out and not expect people to have adverse reactions. I mean, how many commercials do we see that you see the product, but then all those disclaimers are at the bottom of the page before you even get to, do I really need to take that or not? And then basically, depending on what narrative you're listening to whether you want to take it or not. So I understand the apprehension of a whole lot of people not mm-hmm. wanting to take this stuff. In any case, so most people are looking like 3,000 billion sold McDonald's on the billboard saying, well, I'll just wait and see what's going to happen. You cannot get the J&J, even though they advertise it everywhere on CVS and Walgreens and whatnot, and then it's not available.
Mm.
It's not. You cannot get on an airplane. I attended the Capital Jazz Festival this weekend, and they did not allow people in there unless you had a negative test and or a vaccination. So there was a whole lot of tickets that did not basically got burnt up and went down the drain. But they had the rapid test that you could get that morning and then get into that pavilion. But there was a whole lot of people who bought tickets, let's say, 4 months ago, and may or may not even get refunds. But I'm just saying, we're dealing in a different climate right now, and everybody is trying to get back to normalcy. But what is normal for anybody?
That's
your normal,
true.
Jane, Anthony, mm-hmm. not my normal, and everybody's trying to go back to normal. So the bottom line is, if you don't have an infrastructure or you don't come from a different foundation, you don't know what normal is. So you're basically depending on social media and general information to control your narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this apprehension is going on throughout, whatever. So I just want to just lay that down. But understand, I went 100% disability just because of the vaccine. I had to have the federal government to own up the fact that they affected my rest of my life.
Mm.
Because of vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So from a military standpoint, take it from me, and I went to the General Court of Appeals, less the Supreme Court. You can't get no higher in the government for the Veteran Courts of Appeals. And I went that way. It took me 13 years. And trust me, I have a lot of commas behind them numbers. So here's the deal. I understand why people don't take it and they are apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's my comment.
Thank you so much, Sergeant. And I agree. I understand why people are apprehensive.
I do too.
But I also believe it is in the best interest of the majority to be vaccinated.
And if you don't want to be vaccinated, then don't stop people from wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
I understand the apprehension too. I get it. But mm-hmm. you have an option. Wear a mask or get vaccinated.
And honestly, the truth of the matter is there are consequences if you're not being vaccinated.
Right.
You can't work certain places. We can't have you around certain people. We can't have you in nursing homes or hospitals. We can't have you on ambulances as EMTs. There are you can't be at the airport. You can't be a TSA agent if you're not vaccinated, because there is too much risk of you infecting people with the Delta variant, which spreads, as you remember, the news was it spreads like chickenpox,
mm-hmm.
which is very easy to get. We just got to be careful. There are consequences. We've got to do what's in the best interest of the nation. And I'm shocked to hear those words come out of my mouth, but we have to do what's in the best interest of, and now especially what's in the best interest of our children. But
the problem is, Anthony and Kara, is I hear what you're saying, get mm-hmm. vaccinated or wear masks, but masks are not as effective as we thought. Mayor Dixon and I have a podcast now, and this week we had a health professional on, Matt McBride, who talked about how ineffective masks can be if they're not the right masks and if they're not handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
We see our kids being mandated to wear masks, and yet there's outbreaks in Montgomery County schools, Baltimore City schools, and other schools because we aren't trained properly to wear those masks, and most people wearing cloth masks or any other mask they tend to put on that day are not effective in terms of the disease, if they do have it, the virus, getting out from under that mask.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I think it's going to have to come down to either getting vaccinated or really staying home.
And I think we're coming there. Hassan, I think you're on point on these issues. We have a couple more callers. Let me go ahead and take these calls and get these folks into the conversation. Gary, welcome to Two Way Talk. Give us your thoughts.
Yes, hello. Good evening to the family. Hi. I'm just shocked and appalled myself because, I mean, this is something that is deadly, and it seems like, you know, we can as a nation do something about this if we want, just to go out and get the shot, or to get your shots, or just in general to do what you need to do. I don't think it's a really big deal. I think we're just making too much out of it myself.
Well, I think that certainly I respect your opinion, but some people believe that it is a huge deal, a needle going into their child or going into their grandmother to vaccinate them. And there are lots of questions. I mean, people have called and challenged both of us at times on the air. We've talked to health professionals out the yin yang about all of the concerns that people have.
Yeah. Okay.
And something people think it's a big deal to be made to do something.
Yeah,
too.
To be made to do something. Yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
Say something though. I can understand for the children who are minors or even maybe teenagers, but I can't see where it would be a big deal if you're like 21 or over 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm just not, you know, picking up on. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Gary, thank you. Thank you so much. Let's go to Shannon. Shannon, thanks for your patience. Welcome to Two Way Talk.
Absolutely. I just want to make two comments. One is that I am a student, and I work for, I'm a student and of nutrition and integrated health, so my focus is what we put in our body,
mm-hmm.
and how it affects our systems and our bodies. And so as a student, what I did was I went and looked at the ingredients that's in the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
which the first ingredient seems to be, for me, concerning, because, of course, I have the history and everything of the creators of the vaccine, but mm-hmm. also that they are oncologists and that they actually study cancer, and that the first ingredient that's listed is an ingredient that they use to actually cause stomach tumors in their subjects, which would have been animals, to study stomach tumors, to study cancer in the stomach. I have also now experienced family members who have gotten a vaccine and had dull palsy and other things come up that's unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern are, like the gentleman said, long-term side effects, and also actually seeing side effects, responses to this vaccine in family members.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my concern for it. And I understand that people read and all of that, but as a student, I'm doing research and I'm actually finding this out and seeing these this information. And so, you know, that would be, to any other caller, a great concern,
mm-hmm.
because if we don't believe that there will be long-term effects from this vaccination, I think that we're absolutely wrong.
Shannon, thank you. And certainly I respect everybody's opinion, but I wonder how much research was done on the flu vaccine. How many people got the ingredients of the flu vaccine? And my mother got the shingles vaccine,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and she got shingles. Years later, she got shingles. And so I understand people's concerns,
yeah.
But I wonder. We lined up and got vaccinations to get into school, and you had to have them. How many people said, could you give me the ingredients? I've had callers call in here and say, what animal was this vaccine developed from?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that, but I know 700,000 people died, and now 200,000 people have died. We have got to do something.
Yes.
And it's personal, and that's why I respect Hassan Giordano. It's personal. It has to be personal. But if it's mandated by the President of the United States and you don't want to get it, then you can't have your federal yeah. job. It really is. And the courts will weigh in on that.
Right.
But the President said yesterday, I know what rights I have, what falls under my purview as President, mm-hmm. and this is one of them. So we're, you know, we're going to get one more caller, and then we're almost out of time. Dee, thanks for calling. Welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Well, thank you, Anthony, and all the guys. I mean, you just took what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I think the media has a lot of fault in the apprehension of the people, because we always listen to so many different people and all these different viewpoints. When people use their viewpoints, then people take it and run with it and say, oh, yeah, it must be this, it may be that. But just like you just said, we've been getting shot since the ages of time, and people who have children should never question a vaccine, this vaccine, because when their children have to go to school and it's required that they have all their vaccine shots, they give them to them, no problem. But whoever asks about the flu shot with the ingredient, all the other shots, all these people have so many expertise in this. Like I've said before on other shows, Dr. Fauci is the expert of the experts. People can question whether, well, they said they should wear masks this month, they shouldn't wear them. I don't care when they said it. The bottom line is the last thing they said should be the last thing. All this questioning, every little thing all of a sudden, because people allowed you to be able to do that. But Dr. Fauci is 85. He is the expert. He is the scientist. Unless you have science next to your name, you need to follow what the science is telling you. We don't question anything else. We should go ahead and do what we need to do to help everybody. I'm not about just me, myself, and I. If they are saying, the science is saying, and the scientists are saying, we need to get this vaccine. Any other vaccine, everybody run and get in line and get it. And would be no question. What do you think, Anthony?
No, I think you're on point, Dee.
You know what I'm saying?
I really do.
And she's saying actually the same thing the other guy said, that they're making such a big deal out of it. And he might have said it in just a kind of blah sort of way. But they are. They're making such a big deal out of something that we've been doing for years. We've been taking vaccine for years. And if people were to run, and I'm not going to talk about this vaccine no more, but if people were to run and get this vaccine as fast as they were running to get that Popeye's chicken sandwich, we might not have the Delta variant.
Ooh. So, so, folks, honestly, this is the God's honest truth. I believe I don't want it to appear that we are discounting people's concerns, because we really do respect everybody's opinion. But a lot of times I think people are just coming up with everything time and time again just to justify them not getting vaccinated. And when they were talking, when Dee was talking about Dr. Fauci, there are some places where you cannot bring up Dr. Fauci's name because they will tear him apart.
Yeah.
And it really is a very – and I will tell you, civil discourse is important to me. And I know we have these great journalists on, but civil discourse is important to me. But when I watch parents, when I watch elected officials stand in these school board meetings or city council meetings screaming and yelling and refuse to put their masks on when they come in, even though it's mandated that they wear masks, we have a real problem.
Right.
A problem, unfortunately, that goes beyond the Delta variant and the COVID vaccine.
Yep.
So it's a very interesting thing. Let me take one more caller, and then we'll wrap up with our guest. Oscar, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy, for taking my call. I'll try to be as short as I can. In short, I am personally 100% convinced that COVID is something that was put out by the government as a biological warfare against the masses to have us turn on one another.
So, honestly, let me just say this. I said we respect everybody's opinion, but I cannot further these conspiracy theories. I just can't, because it doesn't add to science. It doesn't add to the conversation. It adds to the confusion. It really, really does. So let me wrap up with Hassan Giordano, Stephen Janis, and Jane Miller. Is there anything, let's start with Jane Miller, anything that you have followed in the news that hasn't got a lot of publicity, but you want people to watch and to read about?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a big question.
You can see all what your calls are all about today, right?
That's right.
I mean, this has been a really big thing that's happened with the president issuing this mandate. And, you know, I mean, I think You know, I think the other thing is that we started a new school year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that children don't generally get the kind of attention that I think they should get in mm-hmm. terms of a policy issue, et cetera. But, you know, there's been a lot that's happened over the past year with the pandemic and the loss of in-person instruction, et cetera. We have a violence situation in Baltimore City that continues to go, you know, without abatement.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of this involves children and youth. And I think that, you know, it's the one thing as we get into these next few months and school is back, et cetera, that from a policy standpoint, that this starts to become more of a front burner issue than the back burner issue that it has been for so long. And I know the mayor has, you know, put forth a public safety plan, et cetera, that does, you know, address the issue of youth. But
5 years.
This is really an all-in, it requires an all-in effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that as we go forward and, you know, it is able to become more of a front burner issue.
Yeah. Stephen Janis, what have you been reading in the news? Has there been something that hasn't gotten as much attention that has gotten your attention?
Yeah, we did some coverage of something that people should be should really pay attention to. That is the HR3 bill that's been folded into the reconciliation bill that would allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices. And right now, Big Pharma is paying a ton of money to put ads on television saying that people won't get their insulin if this bill passes, which nothing
is so expensive. Insurance. But go ahead.
Yeah. Do you want me to stop?
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we've done reporting on the story. You can see that on therealnews.com. But, I mean, it's just something that is not getting a lot of attention. But, you know, we pay diabetics in this country are dying because they can't get their insulin.
They can't
and I certainly
get insulin.
Think it's something to pay attention to because mm-hmm. truthfully, if this bill doesn't pass, it will be the end of any hope of having the federal government be able to negotiate drug prices and for people in this country to stop paying 4 or 5 times or 10 times what they do in Canada, Europe for basic life-saving drugs. So just pay attention to that.
Pay attention. And Hassan Giordano, I have to tell you before you answer that question, we get more emails and calls about you than anyone on the – people love it when you're on WEAA. So we love it that you're on Two-Way Talk. Anything that you've been reading, anything you want the listeners to pay attention to?
Well, now that you say that, I got to say, listen, right? They're the number one thing that we got to pay attention to, and thank you. Bro, I'm sure you've gotten quite a few negative ones, too. I'm okay with
one
that,
or
right?
two.
That comes with the life.
That's
but
right.
I really, you say hasn't really been paid attention to. Mine is probably has gotten a lot of play. And Shayla and I this week had Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford on, and we talked about education, especially in the city of Baltimore. We were going to talk about that today. We ran out of time with the school who, in and of itself, we've heard it on a particular television show. I don't think any one of y'all are on there. So, but Fox has made a big deal, as they should, of Augusta Fell Savage, that report. We're getting reports that other schools are about to come under fire for doing the same and having investigations about these ghost students who are wrote on paper only to get funded. And it seems to be, it appears to be all about money. And parents are fed up. Children are fed up. Like Jane said, it should be about our children and our next generation. And this is one of the key issues in Baltimore City that is affecting our children and our parents with no accountability whatsoever. You can't get a straight answer from any of these so-called elected leaders, and yet it continues to go on and on. And I was happy to hear Lieutenant Governor say, hey, it's time for the Attorney General to bring charges against these individuals who may have played a part in this larger scheme that I think we're going to see a lot more being played out over the coming days and weeks.
Now, interesting that you would bring that up, because one of the things I found fascinating was the report that came out about Augusta Fell's school. And and honestly, I understand people's concerns about Fox 45 and the reporting from Fox 45, but most of those things that were revealed in that report had been reported on for almost a year by Fox 45.
That's right.
It's a situation where I think unless we are ready to hold people accountable And I mean, people are to lose their jobs. They're to be charged. They're to pay this money back. Whatever the accountability is, we have got to start doing that. And really, I know you all may disagree with me, but we've got to start holding people accountable at every level of government in Baltimore City.
I'm not surprised that they have other schools. I think I mentioned that when we first started talking about Augusta Fells, that it would be surprising to see how many other schools are doing this undercover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Hassan Giordano, are you working on anything that we need to alert our listeners to?
No, just every Tuesday again, 6 to 8 p.m., live on DMVDaily.news, Facebook, and YouTube. Me, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, the Political Regulators Podcast. This week we're talking about crime.
Mm-hmm.
Former police, Deputy Police Commissioner Tony Barksdale, joined us, as well as Clyde Boatwright and a few others.
Wow.
So definitely want to tune into that every Tuesday as you start. After you get 4 to 6 here, tune in to 6 to 8 over there at Political Regulators, only on Tuesday, though. We're not big time like y'all.
Oh, come on.
Just do it one day.
So, Jane Miller, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you are doing well, and I look forward to seeing you on WBL every time you appear.
Thanks for having me, Anthony. Always a pleasure.
Steve Janis, always great investigative reporting. Thanks for bringing that to WEAA.
Oh, thanks for having me, Anthony. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a very quick break, but before we get to the break, we are going to go to Amy, and she's going to give us our MTA report.